It is good to be with you. It doesn't take long to get a night's sleep in Rochester, but it's good to be here. Thank you, pastors and staff here, for having me. I enjoy releasing angel armies. It's, as I said last night, it is an assignment that has been given to me. So thank you. I honor this house and appreciate the other leaders that are here. Some of you picked up this tape last night and you're already telling me, wow, I told you she's good. She's just good. And Strike the Sky, that's the Appeal to Heaven song when you're doing that app, which isn't it amazing? That's 5.5 months, 410,000 downloads onto their phones to pray every day. That just boggles my mind. It really does. I mean, when Dutch told me where we were at when we were in Moline, the numbers, I was thinking we probably got 50,000 or so by now. No, I was actually pleasantly surprised, and that tells you people are hungry for revival. Because every day you just heard one of the decrees. Can you imagine? And I believe that before the year's up, we're going to get 1 million people praying that. By the way, if you don't know, the Appeal to Heaven National Conference, some of you were over for the first one. That was at the Oasis. We then went to Daphne, Alabama, John Kilpatrick's church, and then Moline. Next, we're going to Tucson. Then we're going to Hampton, Virginia, 2 weeks before the elections. We are having another one at the Oasis. It'll be completely different than the one you were at before in November, but it will be another Appeal to Heaven. This one, we are theming it totally to the election. So we need every intercessor we can get, because yes, we're going to preach it. It won't be the same as what we preached the other one. This will be different. But we are going to take the time with hundreds and hundreds of intercessors, and they're coming from all over America, to pray for these elections. I believe we kept talking, what do we do? And I said, why don't we pray? You know, I mean, that's what it's about. And he said, and so he called, that's called, he knows. He knew he could do it at our place, you know, and he knew it would be free. So he said, can we come and do one? I said, yes, you can. So I'm trying to get the word out. We just did it last week. So come on and be a part of that. By the way, if you haven't signed up on our website, we don't solicit on the website. All the thing I'm going to do is give you announcements of what to pray for, where we're at, what's going on. You would have gotten announcements about this. You have hundreds of people praying for you today. That's the beauty of this. And so anyway, but those are coming up yet. Angel armies, we still have plenty of those set back there. Do you know, speaking of the elections, which I don't dare go on, we'll be here till noon because I can get fired up about it. But anyway, the first book on angels I ever sold was to the Republican National Committee. Do you believe that? That's amazing. Because of the 600 or so churches we have in Ohio and what we're doing in the other states, the RNC sent two people. They flew them in to talk to me and ask for our support. Well, obviously, 600 churches, there's a lot of people there, enough to swing an election, probably. So they flew people in to talk to me from Reince's previous office. And they were asking for our support. Would we be able to support, you know, the Republican cause and all that? And I said, well, I don't know if we were or not. You've lied to us as much as the Democrats. And so, you know, I mean, I was really blunt because I am tired of being lied to, aren't you? I'm just tired of it. You say you're going to do that. I said, Rod Portman, we got him in Ohio. We got him elected, and as soon as 2 or 3 weeks later, he turned for the gay agenda, you know, gay marriage. And he ran on the traditional marriage And he just lied to us. I get tired of that. So I said, it depends on if you can prove that you're not lying or not. So anyway, that was the day. These have not been released nationally yet. They're going to be in a couple of weeks, I said last night. But I've got a few boxes to sell like this. They were delivered the day they were in my office. And they said, what is that? I said, this is my new book on angel armies. And they asked a little bit about it. And one guy said, well, can I buy one? I said, I don't know. I guess we can. We can open a box. I don't even know how much it costs. So I called Caitlin. And long story short, he bought the first one. Let's pray they use it. Amen. So anyway, there's still some of those. I'm sorry we're out of the heaven book back there. But if you'll go on the website, they turn around the same day. So if you order it today, Monday it will be sent out. If you order it Monday, it'll be sent out Monday too, that day, but not on Saturday or Sunday. So we turn this around quickly. A couple other things. This I just finished not long ago on how Holy Spirit speaks to us. There's some 20 ways that He talks to us, and I go through them. That will be a book that I do fairly soon. This is our number one seller for 20 years now, The Force of Your Words. You are destined to live the life you speak from your mouth. They also activate angels. That will be the next book I write. I'm supposed to start that in 3 weeks. It's just a part of the book because I'm writing about something I've never heard anybody talk about, and that is how to sow into the heavens and reap on the earth. And it involves your words and decrees. War Eagles, that has gone around the world. That's the prophetic word is on the back there, but it's also on the tape. Or on the CD. I still call them tapes. That's how old I am. They're CDs. But anyway, Dutch said that was one of the greatest revelations he had ever heard. In fact, he called me and said, I've never heard that in my life. And several have said the same thing. One other resource, if you have kids or grandkids, I have begun to partner several years ago with CCV, Concerned Citizens for Values. They have 21,000 churches around the region that they partner with. And I was teaching on the seven mountain strategies in the 50 states. And the thing that we were concerned about was the destiny of our children and what they were being taught in our schools. And so I had my daughter, Rachel, write a children's book that would describe that they have destiny and purpose from God. And in those 21,000 churches, we didn't get all the people in 21,000 churches to do it, but we have several hundred. If you have a kid or a grandkid, you set them on your lap, you know, when they're two or three, they love to read anyway. And this is all washable. My niece actually illustrated it, but it begins to talk to them. It says, you have a purpose and you have a plan. God had it written when your life began. You might be a scientist, a lawyer, or a doctor, maybe a poet, a teacher, or author. You may lead a city, state, or nation. Perhaps you'll design the world's greatest creation, and on and on. And we're asking those families, and so hundreds have done it, to read that to the child 2 to 3 times a week. So that they're told 400 or 500 times that they have a destiny that God has planned for them. They're told 400 or 500 times that before they get to school and somebody tells them they came from a monkey or something. No, no. God has destiny for them. You say, well, that's indoctrination. Yeah, sure is. It is. It sure is. Hebrews 1:14, as we start today. Remember, the greatest days in church history are not in our past. They are in our present and in our future. The greatest revival in all of time, in all of history, is now breaking forth. There are more angel armies being released in this one than ever before. And Holy Spirit is all over it. He's activating all the fivefold ministry into our time. And He's activating angel armies into our times to assist. Now, Hebrews 1 and verse 13, I'll just teach as long as I... Dr. Bill Hammond had me come down, and Jane, do you know who they are? He's the, you know, but he said, well, why don't you come down and do all of angel armies? And I said, well, how much time? And they said, 12 hours. I'm like, 12 hours? So I'm like, 12 hours? I don't know if I could teach 12 hours on angels, you know? He said, well, it's Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night, Saturday, for about 6 hours on Saturday. I said, okay, I'll try. I got halfway done. So we're getting a little bit of angels, and we'll just kind of navigate a bit today. And then I want to minister to you at the end. But it's in the book or on the CDs. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The Message Bible reads, isn't it obvious that all angels are sent to help out those lined up to receive salvation? Murdoch's Greek translation to English reads, are the angels not all spirits of ministry who are sent to minister on account of them who are to inherit life? New Living Translation reads, therefore angels are only servant spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. J.B. Phillips says they are commissioned to serve the heirs of salvation. Weymouth's translation says angels of God serve and are sent by Him to render service and benefits to those who are to inherit salvation. I talked briefly last night about two angels that I saw on a Sunday morning that appeared in the balcony. One had a blue sash and one had a purple sash. There are five distinct angels that are being released in this third great awakening, especially in this region. Now, there are other angels released that have specific assignments to regions. Different things are going on. But these are five distinct angels that we will see now ministering in the third great awakening. The first two I described last night. Remember, the purple sash angel are angels that are assigned to release God's government or assist God's government on the earth. They represent the king's anointing, the kingdom anointing, the kingdom of God. Kings wear purple and fine linen. And then the blue sash angel are angels that are assisting Holy Spirit's new move on the earth. They're assisting the releasing of Holy Spirit giftings, Holy Spirit fruit or fruitfulness. They are releasing the movings of the Holy Spirit, the communication of the Holy Spirit, or the revival Holy Spirit is releasing. And then there are three others that I haven't described yet, but I want to briefly do so. The beginning of 2013, I began to receive a vision over and over and over again. And this vision, if you've passed by where there are oil wells, you see them out in the field, and they have the boom out, and the boom goes down and up. You've probably seen that. Well, I began to have a vision like that, only it wasn't that iron beam going down and up. It was an angel. And the angel was going down and up and down and up like the oil well. And this happened for several days. And finally, I kept saying, what is this? What does this mean? Holy Spirit, what are you trying to tell me there? And one afternoon, as I saw it again, I began to pray in other tongues, and I heard the Holy Spirit said, those are angels of healing. They are pumping the old healing wells. And they are also opening new wells. So I began to prophesy that, of course. And I got my intercessors that meet with me on Wednesdays. We have 40 to 50 that are assigned to, they'll be praying for, they're praying for me right now. I guarantee you they are. That's what they do. It's their job. It's their ministry. Anyway, I put them on three vans, and we went to as many places as possible to pray where there was an old healing well, where like William Branham had a healing crusade, or T.L. Osborne, or whoever. And we went around our region. We didn't go all over the United States, but our region around Ohio within a couple hours drive. And we went and we got out and we prayed and we commanded that old healing well to open. And then I began to go to places myself and try to preach or do prayer assemblies where those old healing crusades took place. I just done one 3-4 weeks ago, thereabouts, where Catherine Kuhlman used to do her Sunday afternoon. I got there and preached. I didn't care what I preached. I wanted to just be there, you know, and open that old well. It was the Stamba Auditorium up in Youngstown. But we're opening those old healing wells. So you're going to see great demonstrations of healing and miracles activate in this third great awakening. I mean, people are going to be healed of all manner of sickness and disease. You're going to see cripples healed, blind eyes open. You're going to see that. And new healing wells are opening. We opened that healing well in Moline. Also because T.L. Osborne used to go there, or Roberts used to go there. William Branham used to go there. And also Catherine Kuhlman. So you could feel the energy of that as we were opening that old well. So that's another one of the angels that are assisting this. There are angels with them. These are commanders I'm talking about, and there are a lot of angels with them. But they're being released into the nation to open old healing wells and produce new ones. The fourth one is angels of revival and angels of evangelism. That is now being released. We must have the evangelism stirred back up in this nation. And angels are out stirring this up. Angels of revival are beginning to stir all over this nation. They're stirring in Rochester. It's what you're sensing, what you're feeling. It's time for revival. It's time for it. It's time for evangelism. Now, these angels have three specific assignments as far as the evangelism is concerned. First of all, the first phase is going to be prodigals. Millions of prodigals are going to come home now. I mean millions. Our sons and daughters are coming back. Some of our greatest preachers are right now that you're going to see in the third great awakening. Right now, they're prodigals. Some of the greatest prophets we've ever heard are still prodigaled, but they're coming in. We don't have to retrain them. They've already been trained. They're already a great resource. All we have to do is get them fired back up, cleaned up, and released. And you're about to see that. Millions of prodigals are about to come in. You're going to see it right here. You'll start to see backsliders coming home. The angels are all over it. They are assigned to their lives. There's two assigned to each person born. I can prove that, but it's in the book. But those angels right now are working on them to try to draw them back. And the New Testament churches are beginning to reach out to them. Holy Spirit's drawing them in and convicting them. And they're going to be put back in their place. And we're about to see that by the multiplied thousands everywhere. And I believe millions around the United States. Some of the greatest gifted people are right now prodigals, but they're coming home. And then new converts is their other phase, obviously. We need new converts too, and we're going to get them by the millions. And also, then they are working on those who are called to be evangelists. There are a lot of people that are out of place. They're pastoring, or they're teaching, or they're whatever, and they're called to be evangelists. Angels are going to work on that to try to pull the calling of God, to pull that out of them, because they that's what they do. They try to pull out your potential. They instruct you on potential. They connect you to people that will pull out your potential. And these evangelists are going to begin to partner with the church again, and the church is going to begin to partner with the evangelists. The church has not done a good job of that in the past. That's why a lot of the evangelists just had to go out on their own, because the pastors were too insecure. If the guy was real gifted, you know, and doing real good jobs, a lot of pastors get, I don't know about this, get insecure. So I don't care who gets the credit. I want to win. I just want to win. I give the credit to God, and I don't care if that guy's the preacher. I'll just shout for him. It's okay with me. But we've got to have that gift, and it's coming. And then the other angel, the fifth one, is the angels that have been released into America for the coming generation. This coming generation, you know, we're down to 4% that are serving Jesus Christ. 4% of the coming generation attend church and are Christian. That is horrible. But the angels are being released to begin to draw that coming generation. They are called the war eagles. God called them war eagles, and that's one of the if you don't have war eagles, you can get it. But he spoke to me and said he was going to begin to anoint and call forth the war eagles, the coming generation, and they would be the fiercest warriors in his kingdom. See, this coming generation, once you get them fired up, they are fired up. They're so bold. I mean, they'll be martyrs. They don't care. If you get with Damon Thompson and these guys, like at the ramp, they are so fired up. And we're starting to see that begin to develop. I work with circuit riders right now, which are, young preachers in their 20s. And I mean, they just preach till they pull something, you know. That's how they do it, you know. They just go for it. And you're like, wow. And you know, they don't get it right a lot of times. And you have to say, hey, that wasn't right. Do it this way. But they're so on fire. They're so passionate. Their love for God is infectious. And we've got to have them. And, that angel is one I call Naphtali. And here's the reason why. I was asleep one night, and the angel of the Lord that's assigned to my life as an apostle. Actually, a couple of apostolic angels were given to me in Indianapolis years ago. I was there doing a spiritual warfare conference, and on Friday afternoon I was in the room praying. And it's a long story I won't go into today, but once I accepted a calling, oh wow, this was over 20 years ago now, to be an apostle of the Lord, I knew different angels were assigned to my life. And they're with me everywhere I go on the ministry assignments. I know it sounds weird to some people, but it's just normal Christianity. It really is. And they will tell me things. They connect me to things. And this night, I was awakened in the middle of the night with this word, Naphtali. Really loud. I'm like, I woke up, Naphtali. Wasn't ringing a bell. I'm like, Naphtali, I'm still asleep, you know. Went back to sleep. Again, Naphtali. I'm like, what's that? Thought maybe Carol's talking in her sleep or something. I don't know. Nothing. Went back to sleep this time. Naphtali, louder. And I'm like, okay, this must be, maybe it's God, you know. I don't know. So I get up, go downstairs, and And I don't know, it just never connected until I opened, you know, my resources up and said, okay, Naphtali. Oh, yeah, that's one of the tribes. I just, you know, I was asleep. I didn't. And I began to say, okay, Naphtali. So I go back to the original where it starts, and I begin to look at what Naphtali was about. And Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, and it's the first time I'd ever considered how apostolates or kingdom hubs often parallel one of the tribes of Israel and their callings. I had heard Bishop Hammond talk about how they parallel one of the seven churches, and that's easy, you know. Don't want to be the lukewarm one, but you know what I mean. But I had never thought, wow, would a kingdom apostolate, a kingdom hub, actually parallel one of the tribes? And Holy Spirit said, Your apostolate is going to parallel the ministry call to the tribe of Naphtali. I had never thought of that in my life. This is an middle of the night. So I start studying. What is this about? Naphtali was the tribe that trained the generals in the Israeli army. Wow. We're to train generals. Also, the tribe of Naphtali is the tribe that took in the orphans when an Israeli soldier was killed in battle. They took the kids and raised them. And I knew, because my heart was already towards this coming generation, they take them and raise them and make them generals. That's the call. I'm parallel this, see. And you might remember, you know, that was on the blessing that Jacob prayed over those boys, those tribes. Anyway, I called the staff together, and we're in the conference room, and I said, well, here's what the Lord said. We got to turn ourselves to this coming generation. And I had read the scriptures in Genesis 49 and 50 of the blessings upon the tribe of Naphtali, and how the tribe of Naphtali would raise, it says, magnificent fawns. Well, a fawn is the coming generation. One of my elders was seated, we were in the conference room upstairs. There's a window there, it's two stories there, but you can look down. He yelled, I mean yelled. And we're like, what? And he said, come over here. And when I had read that scripture that it raised magnificent fawns, there were two fawns standing under that window, still had the spots on. And I knew this is an assignment the Lord has given. Wow. So a part of the third great awakening is also reaching back to the coming generation and empowering them and loosing them and running with them. I tell them this, I'm not handing you the baton, I'm running with you. I might be not running as fast as you, but look behind, I'm there. I'm coming. I'm on my way. And so those are the five distinct angels that are a part of the third great awakening. Now I want to talk about angels and the king's heirs, which of course are those who have declared Jesus as their Lord. We are heirs of King Jesus. That's an amazing thing to think about, really. Before I get into that, let me just give you this perimeter, because we need to be very balanced about this. There's been a lot where angels are concerned that get out of balance. And I think that's why some people stray away from it or kind of push it off. And we just keep it in balance. It's great. But there are some balance principles. We never, obviously, ever worship an angel. Ever. Don't ever worship an angel. God alone gets all the praise, all our worship. In Revelations 19 and 10, the Apostle John there was receiving revelation concerning heaven and the marriage supper of the Lamb, and he fell at the feet of this angel that was giving him the revelation. That's one of the things angels do. They give you revelation. They give you messages. They're called messengers for a reason. But the angel immediately stopped John and says, Do not worship me, worship God. I am your fellow servant and your brethren's fellow servant if they have the testimony of Jesus. The Amplified Bible reads, refrain, you must not do that. I am only another servant with you and your brethren who have accepted and hold the testimony borne by Jesus. Worship God. Angels are to be honored, yes, and respected as fellow servants or co-laborers. They are not to be worshipped. We seek after God alone. He alone deserves our praise. In fact, Colossians 2:18 warns us that worshiping angels is condemned and could cause you to lose your reward. Angels are serving spirits, and they serve God just like we do. We don't worship them. Actually, angels are created beings. Don't think of them as deity. They're not deity. They are created beings. We are to consider them fellow servants assigned by God to assist the heirs. We are heirs. Angels are not heirs. In fact, one day we're going to judge angels. Angels are not heirs of God. We are the heirs of God. Never worship angels. Now, there are millions and millions and millions of these angel warriors that are here to assist us. Millions of them all over the place that are fellow servants. Hebrews 12:27 says it's an innumerable company of angels. The Amplified Bible reads countless multitudes of angels. Message Bible reads throngs of angels. Phillips translation reads countless angel armies. Weymouth translation, countless hosts of angels. Remember from last night, only 1/3 of the angels fell when Lucifer did his rebellion. Leaves 2/3 left. There are more angels for us than there are against us. You go to some churches, you would never know that. But that's the way that it really is. It's at least 2 to 1. And there are millions and millions and millions and millions that are on our side. That, of course, should add to our confidence, our faith, the remnant warrior's faith. And remnant only refers to a small portion. See, only a small portion is going to be involved in this third great awakening. You're not going to get everybody to do it. I mean, if Jesus couldn't get 500 to do it, he could only get 20%. Well, that's about what I see happening right now. It's a remnant. But the remnant is a lot bigger than it used to be. It isn't 120 anymore in an upper room. No, there are millions of us, but it is a remnant. Remnant simply means a small portion. See, most of the church is nominal. Nominal means in name only. Many churches, they just have a name that they're a church, but it's not real. They are not really practicing and flowing with God's word. In fact, you can go to some churches right now where in the back of their pew, right beside the Holy Bible, is the Holy Quran. Yeah. Yeah. They call it Chrislam. It's nominal. It's not real. And so, you know, the remnant, when I'm talking about the remnant, I'm talking about those that believe God's word. And we stand for God's word. But it is a remnant. Sometimes in the natural realm, we are very outnumbered. I'm not going to disagree with that. I know that that's true. Sometimes the odds against us are incredibly high. And there are many today, even good Christian people, that believe we're never going to see real awakening and reformation in our nation. We're not really going to disciple America. We're not going to see reformation in America because it's gone too far. We're over the edge now and the odds are against us. The odds are just totally against us and they actually feel hopeless. For the last 10 years or so, I have had to deal with that in a lot of people. They just feel like this is not going to work. We're not going to see it. And there's been a prevailing hopelessness. Well, sometimes the numbers in the natural realm do look absolutely impossible. But the natural number is not the kingdom number. The kingdom number is overwhelmingly in our favor. I had to learn that. And the body of Christ has to learn that. I had to learn it a lot these last 10 years. God is with us. Holy Spirit is empowering us. His breaker anointing is going before us. And there are millions and millions of angels assigned to assist us, to stand with us. Remember the great story in 2 Kings chapter 6. The prophet Elisha told his servant when the two of them were surrounded by the Syrian army. I mean, they are incredibly outnumbered. War horses, war chariots, soldiers of the Syrian army everywhere, a host of Syrian soldiers. And Elisha tells his servants, relax. There's more with us than with them. So the servant takes a head count. 1, 2. 2 was the natural number. It really was. But it wasn't the kingdom number. Elisha prayed, God opened the servant's eyes, and when his eyes were open spiritually, his eyes were open. He saw the hillsides were filled with the chariots of the armies of the living God, with angel armies. Chariots of fire were everywhere. Fire warriors arrayed for battle were all around them. And indeed, there was more that was with them than that was against them. God gave miraculous victory even in the face of natural odds against them, overwhelming odds against them. Is the remnant number enough to see the greatest days in church history? Is it enough? Is the remnant number enough to see a worldwide revival? Is it enough to disciple this nation, to see a worldwide revival? Yes, because the natural number is not the kingdom number. There's more with us than there is against us. And if the remnant will step up, though the odds seem great against us, we're going to see the mighty armies, the angel armies of heaven, begin to come and side with us and change the victory around in our favor. See, the shock and the awe is not on the natural side, it's on the spiritual side. That's where the real shock and awe is. Far more than we need. And if we need more, well, God knows where they're at. He can bring them in. There are times when I believe in this third great awakening, you will see where spiritual warfare is very intense. God sending additional battalions of angels in to assist them. Since the beginning to declare this message some 10 years ago now, and beginning to practice the principles of God where this is concerned, and making decrees that would employ angel armies, the victories in the face of overwhelming odds that I've experienced is absolutely incredible. It's hard to explain even. These principles have changed everything for me. But it has been, these past years, it has been as though God insisted that everything He told me to do, the odds were against. It's like He insisted everything He told me to do. There was no way in the natural realm to do, and the odds were absolutely, totally against anything like that ever happening. At first, it was frustrating till I understood what was going on. Like, man, how do you do this? How do you do that? I can't do this. I can't do that. You know, because I had to learn. I cannot look. If you look at the natural numbers or the odds, the natural odds, your faith will go right down the hill. I mean, you'll fold up. No, I had to learn the natural number. If I'm going to be a kingdom man, an apostle that is releasing apostolic authority in region, I got to understand natural numbers, not the kingdom number. And God insisted on that. I think it was so He gets all the glory, and that's fine with me. We're still open as a church, the Oasis. We're still open because of these principles, because of Holy Spirit and His angel armies. There's no doubt in my mind about that. At our lowest point, this would be just before the revelation of angel armies. This began probably 11, 12 years ago now. We were $750,000 in the red, 6 months past due. I'd gone through a five-way church split because I'd started to go towards the apostolic and the prophetic. We were a leading charismatic church. The charismatic movement with top 1% of all churches in America. The building you were in, some of you, I built that. That was our sixth building in my sixth year. That's how fast we were growing. But begin to see the charismatic model in light of scriptures that I'd studied. I began to see, well, while that's great and we're being blessed,
we're losing the coming generation. And when I saw what was really happening without the church being built on the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, we're not really going to see signs, wonders, and miracles, and we're not going to see the great harvest. So I began to study the apostolic. There were eight of us in the United States. We would get together for a week in the spring and a week in the fall. You would recognize the names if I were to tell you. Back then, when I first started this, this would be 25 years ago that I was trying to understand the apostolic a little bit. I didn't know anything. I mean, really, I didn't. Nobody did. So I got together with men that would understand. One of them leads the coalition of apostles to this day. But we would sit and we would discuss for hours, for two or three days at a time. What does this mean? What's this about? Well, when I finally accepted that that's what I should do and turn the church to an apostolic prophetic base and embrace the prophetic and apostolic, you would have thought that I have now become a heretic. You know, I backslid. Because we are such a good charismatic model, and I had 9 full-time pastors, and all of them were out of that charismatic model. And no matter what I said or how much I explained it, they just weren't embracing it. And so they decided that they would just start their own churches, and they would do it the charismatic way. And they started 5 churches around us within 5 minutes of me, taking hundreds here, hundreds there, hundreds there. I lost 2,000 people in 2 months. And I lost $1 million out of the budget, obviously. And it looked like they were the ones that were right because they were prospering and we weren't. And, you know, I had three certified public accountants tell me that I should just declare bankruptcy. I had some of my closest friends. I mean, Dutch would say, just get out of there, move on, and just forget it. Come and work for us, whatever. And all of this was happening. And the band, that's when Rachel came on the scene. She was a kid back then. The band was, I had a full orchestra. The band was down to my mom on the organ and less than 100 people in that big place. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, hallelujah. The prophetic word went all around the area that Ichabod had been written over the doors, and you know. And, okay. I can go into a lot more detail than that because it was... my spiritual father, Jim Hodges, and Dutch also, they also say that it was the most vicious spiritual attack they have ever seen. And let me pause there. Jeff, I don't know if I'm done there. Just so you get a little more flavor of it. I really thought, well, that's okay, I'll just leave. And I asked God, just let me leave and I'll just go do something else, start over, whatever. And Carol was like, yeah, let's get out of here. Let's don't do this anymore. So this is before the revelation of angel armies now, just a little bit before. So I'm out at the lake and I'm praying. And I'm saying, God, just let me go. I'll travel, I'll teach, I'll do, Dutch wanted me to come out and work with him. I had the opportunity to be the president of a couple of Bible schools. There were other churches that were wanting me to come pastor them. I had opportunities and some of them were really good. And so I'm like, okay, Lord, just let me go. And I kept asking him to let me go. I wasn't hearing anything. And Carol's telling me, just get out of here, you know. Because we had hundreds of people around us, you know, that used to attend, and it was really bad. Rumor mills and all that. You must have done something wrong, you know. So anyway, this went on for quite a while. And I had been out all night long. I would build fires and just stay out at the lake all night long praying, seeking God. And so finally one day I said, God, just let me go. And I heard him very clear, just as I was to hear him later on, like I said last night about angels. I heard him really clear. He said, okay, you can go now, and I will bless you. And I'm like, oh, hallelujah. So I went home from the lake and I said, Carol, God spoke to me. We can leave and he is going to bless us. And I believed that. I know he meant that. So that afternoon, I said, something was bothering me. And I went to Carol. I said, I'm going back to the lake. She said, you've been out there all night for two or three nights now. Why are you going back? I said, I don't know. I got to go back. So I went back out to the lake and I went back to a waterfall I like to go to way behind it. I sat down and I said, okay, God, you said I could go now and you would bless me. And I believe you meant that. You will do what you said. But I didn't ask you this. Do you want me to? And just as clear, he said, no. So now I have no choice. For me, no choice. So I went back and I told Carol what God had said. And from that point until today, through a lot of hell or high water, I knew I am exactly where God wanted me to be. Now, that I just described, and it was a lot worse than I just described, but that, out of that is when Holy Spirit began to speak to me and he said, now I want you to go change your region and I want you to build an apostolic hub where fivefold ministry can operate. I want you to release that apostolic hub in such a way that my glory will fill the entire region round about you. I'll release my power if you'll do that. Now I described to you the situation. My thought to the Lord at that point was, you have got to be kidding me. We have nothing. It's worse than that. We're $750,000 behind, months behind. I have a church that holds 4,000. I've got less than 100. My mom, who plays in the 1950s style, is on the organ. And that's it. I'm leading the worship. We have no praise team. That's where Rachel, you learn how to do this. Dalton, he was our 15-year-old that learned to play the drums. I mean, I was just like, yeah. We have nothing, God. He just kept saying, I'll establish an apostolate. You do what I say. Do it and I'll bless you. I remember for weeks then, he began to unfold this revelation of angel armies to me. Something I'd never heard taught. I was raised in church. I had not heard this taught before. I don't know why we don't teach on angels. You hear something every now and then, and in the apostolic and prophetic, you'll hear it more likely than you will any other place. But still, the deep revelation of it, we weren't hearing. And also, I remember that for over a month, he began to teach me through the scriptures about how angels help apostles shift their regions. Something that I did not know. I do practice it now. I teach it now. And I was about to apply it then, but I didn't know it at that point. But he began to teach me how angels help the apostles shift their region and align it with heaven. And the only thing I knew to do then was to say yes. Lord, it doesn't look good. The odds sure do not look good. I don't see how, but I believe you know how. And I'm going to trust you no matter what the odds. I'm going to trust you no matter what I see. During that time, and I told nobody about the angel revelation at this point. I'm still weighing all this out. During that time, prophetic words began to come to confirm what Holy Spirit was saying. 6 months into the season, Prophet James Gall came to us. And he began to prophesy that angels were being released to us. And I had not told him anything. I didn't tell him I'd been hearing God about angels, seeing angels, nothing. No one. I hadn't told anybody yet. But he said that angels were being released to it, and that a Rex Humbard anointing for communication and miracles was now open to us. And then he led us in this decree. I record everything and then we have it transcribed. I go over it. I've gone over this I don't know how many times. But he led us in this decree. We declare that the angels of heaven are welcome in this earth realm. We welcome you here. You are welcome in this region. You are welcome in this state where all things are possible to them that believe. We speak forth angels on assignment. Angels on assignment. Angels of the presence of God on assignment. Messenger angels, come and be released to us. And we will be strengthened by heaven's arsenal. We shall be strengthened. We shall be reinvigorated. We have supernatural strength as heaven's army is being released in the region. Wow, what confidence. I mean, I'm coming out of a mess. I'm still in the mess. He doesn't know it, but that's what he led us in. And then shortly after that, Barbara Yoder came. And she prophesied at one of the prophetic summits that I was doing. And here's the prophetic word. Again, this is the scenario I was in when these words came. I'm delivering the church out of the religious structure that has held it captive. And the Lord said, shout, 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 for I'm cutting the ties tonight. And not only am I cutting the ties, but the Lord said that I'm loosing my angel host. They are moving throughout this entire territory and region. They are taking the word and they're beginning to go. And the Lord said, there shall come to this state help from other states. There shall come help from other nations, even as whales called in. I'm calling nations in to help you, for I shall break the structures that have held the land captive. For this has been a stronghold in the nation for one religious structure that has kept the nation going in the wrong direction. But the Lord said, you shall break through and I shall create a roar in you, and you will roar like a lion. When she prophesied that we're going to roar like a lion, all I could hear was a whimper. Barely a whimper. Again, I had told her nothing. I never tell any of them anything. Prophet Mark Chirona actually came a few months before the revelation of angel armies was downloaded to me. And he had me, he stood me up, he was there doing a conference, and he prophesied this to me. He said, the Lord said, this was about 3 months before all the angel revelation started to be downloaded. He said, the Lord says, you will be wooed by my spirit into the depths of my presence, and you will be awakened into the awareness of angel ministry. Man, did that begin to happen. Those who say prophetic words are not for our time. They've missed a boat, man. They're way too late for me. And then Jane Hammond, Prophet Jane, came to do a destiny seminar. And she got up to speak. Again, I've told nobody anything yet. She began to prophesy. The Lord says that I want you to know that I have assigned specific angels that are going to work with you and walk with you. I hadn't told her a thing. And the Lord says that I want you to know that I'm going to release big guns to you. There's going to be times that Michael comes and works with you. There's going to be other times that Gabriel comes and talks to you. And there's already been some revelation that I've released to you that you haven't understood. Boy, was that right. And the Lord says the angel Gabriel, just like he came to Daniel and brought understanding of hard things that were too hard for Daniel to understand, the Lord says that I'm going to send my angel Gabriel, and he's going to bring that understanding to you so that you can move forward in the next season. Wow, yeah. Then Chuck Pierce came. He came to do a Destiny School, and he brought Ann Tate with him, who's one of the intercessors there. He travels with Chuck. And she came up and prophesied this. Again, I've said nothing to them. She said, the Lord says this, that in this season, the Lord will send Lord Sabaoth to you, the Lord of angel armies. He will come suddenly to a gathering, and when he arrives, you will have a moment to decide if you're going to align with him or not. Yeah. And as you align with him, as you make that choice and that decision, you're going to agree with the armies of the host of God that he is able to amass and to align the armies of the hosts of the earth. The Lord says that this is the season when this will come forth, because my pulpits that have been called to compete, to pull down and to challenge the thrones of iniquity that abode in this territory, the Lord says that my people and the power of my pulpit has just not contended. And the Lord says that in this season, in order to enter the kingdom battle that I'm calling you to, that will make a difference on the earth, there will have to be a new alignment with Lord Sabaoth. And as you align, I will release the angels in new and greater dimensions as you stand in place with me. The Lord says that you have been chosen for this purpose. As Ohio aligns, the rest of the nation will begin to shift and align with the hosts of the armies of heaven. The Lord also says, I could care less if it's only 300 of Gideon. It'll be enough. Wow. All kinds of confirmations began. I could go on dozens and dozens more. Then Chuck Pierce came after that again. And he prophesied that we were to build a firewall around the state of Ohio. That's what he said. He always does that. He does that about every time. I'll be with him next week in Philadelphia, and I guarantee he'll turn and say, teach on that, tell us what that means. And then he just keeps going. I'm like, you tell us what it means, you know? You know? Give me something else to do. He said, build a firewall around the state. And that's all he said. And you want to say, I didn't, but inside I did. How do you do that? How do I build a firewall around the state? I don't know. Don't you like it when they come in and prophesy and just drop it on you? And you want to say, well, wait a minute, you know? And Jane Hammond was there, and she came up and she prophesied, churches will come from around the region and dip their torch in your fire. Well, again, I thought, how can we do this? We have no money. I mean none. We're close to $1 million in the hole. We had 8 forbearances at the bank because I kept meeting with them. I didn't try to hide what had happened. I met with them and said, what do you want me to do? You want to preach or you want me to? I did. First thing I did when it happened, I said, there it is. I said, I don't know how, but we'll pay you. But it won't be this month. I said, Lord, I don't know how. We don't have any staff. I had 80 in full-time ministry that I'd sent out. Now it's me. I had 9 full-time pastors. Now it's on staff just in Middletown. Now it's just me. But I gathered some volunteers and said, let's get a Holy Ghost strategy and let's start. And we're going to start with nothing. We're going to do it just like God did in the beginning. We're going to declare it be. And we're just going to believe it. And we're going to do it. With no staff, no money, nothing. We're just going to go do it. And the strategy God gave me was to go to all 88 counties and begin to hold prayer assemblies. And, of course, I talked to you about, and we do that. We get church hostess, and we call on the pastors from the county, and we begin to pray. Have about 50 decrees that I make. I got a couple other pastor friends to travel with me and become an apostolic team. and we go. Then I told you about the torches. That's when I got the torches. You want to dip torches in our fire? Let's do torches. I don't know how to build a firewall. Maybe that's it. It was it. And over 600, as I said, have taken those torches now. Then I began to create political action groups in all those counties to begin to vet who's running for office. Because I don't know who's running for office. I don't know if they're good or bad, but somebody there will know. Tell us what's going on in your counties. And then I started War Eagle Weekends, and I began to preach for the coming generation. Then I had Awakening Weekends with Dutch, and we began to have Healing Weekends. I just began to go out and do it with no money. There is no doubt in my mind. None of that would have happened without Holy Ghost and His angels. I know they were partnering with me. They've been all over it. They've connected me to places. They've connected me to people. They've engaged in battle beside us. They've ministered favor and favor and favor. How can you get hundreds and hundreds of churches working together with you 24/7? I'm going to tell you in the natural, you can't. Mm-mm. I doubt in the natural I could have gotten five. If you've ever tried to get churches to work together, that is not an easy thing. But angels went to work under Holy Spirit supervision. And they began to hearken to the decrees that we were making. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of decrees. That's why I put 300 decrees in the back of the book. That's how we live. We just decree it and believe God. The angels wouldn't let it go, and fellow servants went to work on it. I don't know what the odds are in the natural of getting all of that done with no money, no people, no staff. But I learned the natural number is not the kingdom number. There is now a knowing, and I had to learn, there is now a knowing that no matter what the situation is, the odds are in my favor. The odds are always in my favor. The odds are never against me. The odds are in my favor. The Holy Spirit and His angels overwhelm all that hell can muster. When God tells you to do something, the odds are always in your favor. I don't care what the natural number is. We have got to learn that. It's not by natural might or natural power. It is by the powerful Spirit of God. When He says, I'm going to assist you, and I will assist my heirs, and I'll release angels to assist my heirs, He means exactly that. I don't know. We won victory after victory after victory. The odds never determine victory. The odds never determine victory where you're concerned if you're an heir. Mm-mm. We won victory after victory after victory. I don't know how, but in 4 years' time, we paid $2.7 million off of that debt. Supernaturally. We had a donation of over $1 million to take stuff off the debt. I ever have God get you out of something you don't really know how? You just got there. God just began to move. He just began to move. And we're in better shape than I was now. Better shape than when before all this ever began. I had to learn the natural number is not the kingdom number. I know without the angels it would have never happened. I could go more there, but let me move on. King David in Psalms 103, verse 19 through 22, gives an amazing insight on God's kingdom angels. I want to go there for a few minutes and then turn it to ministry time. It says, the Lord has prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Bless you the Lord, all you hosts, that's angel armies, you ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now that would include earth, because he has power in heaven and in earth. All places of his dominion would include right here. Holy Spirit inspired David here to use some very incredible wording. This passage is loaded. Let me dissect it just a moment. The word excel. Angels excel in strength. That is the Hebrew word gibor, and it means warrior or valiant ones or champion. Gibor is the same as the Hebrew word gebula or gebul, which is important to note because gebula means, it's the Hebrew word meaning territory, region, boundaries, landmarks, coasts or limits. Notice, angels help maintain boundaries for God's kingdom. They are Holy Ghost border patrol agents. They assist us in maintaining our region, in protecting our borders. They are warriors valiantly fighting to open territories or guard territories. They help assist set the landmarks that state God rules this territory. For example, you're driving along, come to Indiana, you'll see a sign that says Indiana. You are now entering into the Indiana Territory. You come to Ohio, you'll see a sign, Ohio. You've just entered into Ohio Territory. The covenants and the laws of Ohio apply here. Well, angels help the New Testament church that makes decrees set up landmarks to principalities and powers, iniquitous roots and everything else. You have just entered into a God territory. It is protected by the covenants of God here. The laws of God pertain, and you are not welcome. You cannot come. You set up the border. You protect the border. They come. When an apostolate declares what God says into their regional assignment, then angels hearken and they begin to clear the territory to establish the rule of King Jesus. And then they patrol the territory to keep it open, an open heaven over the territory, to keep it free. When we declare the dominion of Jesus Christ over a region, which ought to be happening here. You need to do that, obviously. Angels begin to assist in establishing that. They will war in the natural realm. They'll war in the spiritual realm. Doesn't make any difference. And fellow servants will begin to establish and maintain the covenants of God in the region, or the laws of God in the region. The word strength, they excel in strength. That's the Hebrew word koach. And it means force or to be forceful or to be firm or to produce. The word commandment. Angels do the Lord's commandment. That is the Hebrew word dabar. And it means business, means cause, means matter or purpose. They do the king's business in that region. Pleasure. Angels do the Lord's pleasure. Pleasure is the Hebrew word ratzon, and it means desire or will or inclination. They do whatever the king wants done in that region, in that territory. They do whatever he's inclined to do. And it's easy to see here that angels' assignment and our assignments are very similar, actually, because we too are to do whatever the king wants done here. Whatever he's inclined to do, we're on the same assignment. We have the same cause, whatever the king's inclined to do here. We are to establish his reign in our territory. We're to establish his will in our region. We're to set boundaries that declare God reigns, entering God territory. You approach Rochester, that ought to be a sign to all powers of darkness. You are entering God territory. God rules here. Entering a territory where the covenants of God are honored. In the natural laws, the natural realm, or spiritual realm. That means local government, city government, state government. It don't make any difference. We're to establish that God's covenant is above them all. And we live in God's. That's why I said last night, I ain't worried about bathroom laws. Not if the church does its rule right. We'll take care of that quick. If you look to Washington to do this, my God. This administration is just... This president and his administration, they're not going to get it done. I mean, they're killing Christians. They're beheading Christians. We have ISIS. We have terrorists everywhere. But they don't have time for any of that. They're too busy trying to get a guy with a dress on in a girl's bathroom. Yeah. The church has got to rise up and say, this is where we stand. I do. Yeah. I mean, I preach the king makes his stand. And some of you have heard it. But part two, you haven't heard. Part two is the church must make her stand when the king makes his stand. That's on the CD back there if you're interested. I like to preach it too, but I don't have time to preach everything at once. But I will throw it in every now and then. If we dare make a stand and we'll boldly declare the word of the Lord. If we prophesy into the region, here's what God says. Here's the covenants. Here's the treaties that God has made. Here's the law of the living God. If we'll do that, hosts of heaven will mobilize and begin to patrol the territory with us to keep the territory clean and to patrol it and protect it from iniquity coming in. We can shift the territory. Now consider quickly Hebrews 1:14 again. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The Amplified Bible reads, are not the angels all ministering spirits or servants sent out in the service of God for the assistance of those who are to inherit salvation? Angels, it says, are ministering spirits. Ministering is leiturgikos. It's a phrase meaning to bring relief or public servant. It means to perform religious or charitable functions. So angels are sent, it says, to be ministering. They minister relief. They bring strength and relief. To who? To the heirs of salvation. Heirs is the Greek word kleronomeo. Means a possessor, or it means to inherit or to receive an inheritance. The dictionary definition is one who receives or is entitled to receive something. He's an heir. The word salvation is soteria. Means to rescue, means safety, healing, deliverance, to preserve or preservation. There are three aspects to the word soteria and where angels are concerned. And I want to end with this, because this is vital where deliverance is concerned. Soteria, the word salvation. It is used in the scripture for material or temporal deliverance. In other words, in the natural realm, physical realm, right where we're at right now. Earth realm deliverance. You can see that in Luke 1:69, Acts 7:25, Acts 27:34, Philippians 1:19, and Hebrews 11:7. That is natural realm deliverance right now. Also, soteria, this word salvation, also is used referencing spiritual or eternal deliverance. Spiritual realm deliverance. You see that in Acts 4:12, Romans 1:16, Romans 10:10, Ephesians 1:13. In those verses, spiritual deliverance is described from any bondage, any spiritual bondage at all. Deliverance is available. Then three, soteria is used to refer to present salvation, real time salvation, present or now time salvation. And you'll see that in Philippians 2:12, 1 Peter 1:9. In other words, right now, real time salvation. In your region right now, salvation and deliverance. So angels minister to the kleronemoo, the soteria, deliverance, salvation. They help minister deliverance in the natural realm. They help minister deliverance in the spiritual realm and in our present time. Don't think future. They are not going to deliver you in the future in heaven. You do not need it there. They are real time, now time, present time in your region now deliverers. They're circling you right now to listen to your decrees so they can deliver you. Angels rescue us. They provide safety. They preserve. They protect. Protect us who? Protect us heirs. And because of the sacrifice of Jesus, who paid the price for us to be heirs, His blood on Calvary paid that price, they are here to minister aspects of that salvation to us. Romans 8:17 says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. The word joint heirs is sug klernomaeo. Sug is co. You are a co-heir. That's what it means. The Greek text says identical heirs. You are an identical heir with Christ Jesus. Not because you deserve it. We don't. But He made us that way. He made you an identical heir with Christ. And because we are heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, we are entitled to receive soteria, salvation, right now in our region in the real time. They assist our rescue. They're ministering right now. Don't think future, one day when I get to heaven. No, right now, in this region right now. Psalms 103 verse 2 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits. One of the greatest benefits we are told not to forget are the angels. Angels. What a benefit. They're here to minister to you. They're here to help you win. They're here to rescue you, deliver you. Release the Air Force with your decrees. They organize around the decrees of the saints to bring them to pass. When you pray prayers of faith, you have a right to ask Holy Spirit to send in the Air Force. We have not because we ask not, or because we ask wrong, but ask, ask. You say, but this has happened or that has happened and the odds don't look very good. I've been there. But I can tell you the odds are in your favor. God will send more help than you need. Decree what He says. After preaching this a while back, the Holy Spirit gave me this word, prophetic word. I'll end with that. Holy Spirit says, hear the sound of my wind. Hear the sound of marching over trees of righteousness. Hear the sound of marching over the plantings of the Lord, for the marching drums are beginning to beat. The warriors are stirring their hearts, and the world will now see my shock and my awe. It will be a power that will capture. It will uproot. It will destroy evil structures. Hell's attempt to resist will be futile. I will march when I want, where I want, how I want to. The shaking of Babylon's fist in my face has made me laugh, says the Lord. I will grind it as a millstone and crumble it till it's powder. My remnant will hear the trumpet and gather for battle. They will rise, they will march with me, and they will win. For the alarm clock of heaven is now ringing on the nightstand of a sleeping church. And it is sounding forth, time to rise to the occasion. Hell's kingdom will experience might it cannot withstand. It cannot hide, and it cannot prevail. Overwhelming force is coming to bear on diabolical structures of evil, and darkness will be scattered, for I will uproot entrenched evil by superior forces. The world has not experienced power like I will now release. For the synergy of the generations is a wind driving my marching. Yes, a remnant is all I require. But the remnant is no longer 120 in an upper room. It is now millions, says the Lord. And it is now the season to activate in superior power. It is now the time to activate my kingdom forces, my angel armies, my church empowered with my mightiness. They will march in precision and skill, and they will not break rank. Evil empires will crumble. Evil structures will crumble. Evil dictators will crumble. Evil philosophies and religions will be destroyed by truth. My remnant heirs will now triumph. That's the word of the Lord. And it is time. It is time for it to be released. All right. I'm going to ask the praise team, and I really mean it today, if you'll come. I'm not going to minister the same way, but I do want to minister just a moment. If you'll come, we'll do it like we did last night. We'll receive an offering, and then that way we won't have to stop the flow of ministry time. Again, if you can help us, I will really appreciate that. We've got a lot to do. And again, like I said, we still have no staff. I mean, why break it up now? It's working. So 100% of what you give to Awakening Now, 100%, it goes to the cause. We don't pay people. We just say, you want to volunteer? Come on. I'm volunteering all over the state. So that happens. Of course, I'm blessed. I'm not complaining. But if you can help us to spread the gospel and get the word out and just do what God's called us to do, we'll appreciate that. Again, make your check out to TSM, Tim Sheets Ministry. And after the ministry time, I'll be back at the table. I know I signed a lot of books last night. I'll sign some more today if you want. I'll be glad to do that and talk with you. I want to go ahead and receive the offering now so that when I start the ministry time, we can just flow with it, okay? Lord Jesus, bless this offering. Bless every giver today. I pray for a hundredfold return to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, guys. Now, Lord, on the basis of the calling that you have given to me, and as we have preached your word today, we now activate the teaching. And as an apostle in your kingdom, I come now and I declare a release of angel armies throughout this region of Indiana. Holy Spirit, come and activate the principalities and powers of our kingdom to begin to patrol this region and begin to battle against iniquity thrones, cleansing the territory. We ask you to release the mights and the dominions of your kingdom, O God. Holy Spirit, loose angel armies here to begin to assist the heirs here, to begin to assist the churches here, the apostles here, to begin to patrol the boundaries and establish the covenants of Jesus Christ here. I declare in the name of the King of Kings, Jesus, a release of angel armies in this region. Bring them, Lord, as you have ordained for this time. We declare they will now begin to assist in new and fresh ways. They will begin to assist the strategies that you have given the pastors. They will begin to assist the strategies given to the congregations of your people throughout this part of Indiana. And we declare in the name of Jesus Christ, the powers of darkness are bound. You leave. Iniquity thrones come down in Jesus' name. We establish the throne of King Jesus. And we declare from this day forward, angel activity will begin to increase. Revelation concerning angels and the strategies of how to release them and the decrees that release them will now be released in this region. Angelic encounters will begin to increase under Holy Spirit supervision. Angels that are assigned will begin to do as in Scripture, begin to give messages even in dreams as Holy Spirit leads. Visitations, messages. We declare New Testament Christianity to go to a whole new level in the name of Jesus Christ. May the angels assist in mighty deliverance in the natural realm, the spirit realm, and right now in this region. We declare the opening of the heavens where angels can ascend and descend over Rochester in Jesus' name, over this entire region in Jesus' name. I declare that in the name of Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The angels of healing are released. We'll stir that well up as we minister today. If you need prayer for anything, natural realm or spiritual realm, doesn't make any difference. But we will pray for you. Someone here, you have tingling from this elbow up through your hands here. It's like your arm is asleep, like when it's waking up, you know, your arm goes asleep on you and wakes up. That's the kind of tingling that is there, and I want to pray for you today. Someone here, you have, your heart is out of rhythm. I believe God will put that back together. Upper back, I want to pray for you. There's someone here, you have problems with your left eye. It's like somebody has their thumb in your eye, just pushing back, like a kind of pressure. Severe pain in your right knee. There's a person here also. You have a lot of problems with diverticulitis. God wants to heal that today. Someone here also with... you were in a car accident, and because of the car accident, even standing like this is causing a lot of pain in your back and down through your hips. You have a lot of discomfort there. But God can reverse the damage that was done. I've prayed for thousands of people with back problems. I don't know why. God just goes back to a dream that God gave me before Bible school, actually. But people have flown in from other states just to have me pray for the back and go back and get on a plane. Whatever your problem is, as they sing, come line up. Pastor and I, the pastor's here, we'll just start ministering to you. We're going to believe that the healing wells are open. Angels, Lord, you told me angels were opening healing wells. You're opening the healing wells in Rochester, Indiana, this region. I don't know how many wells there are around here, but angels are pumping them. And we see the evidence of that. Let it happen today in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us, Lord, signs and wonders, miracles and healings today in the name of King Jesus. Hallelujah. There is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead, guys, sing. We're going to start praying. You want to help me? You guys help me.